Let's cross the Tasman, as we do on a Monday, talk to Kerri-Anne Walsh in Canberra. Good morning.
Good morning, Corin.
All right, big election over the weekend.
Huge.
What do you put that result down to?
The women of Australia. That's what I put it down to. In the lead up to the election, all the polls had showed that the breakdown of the of those who were going to keep the Morrison government in, or those who were almost to a person, that's an exaggeration, but were, you know, vigorously going to turf them out, were with the women of Australia. I mean, in some seats, his vote, the Liberal Party vote, crashed dramatically. And I don't think there's any lack of coincidence in the fact that in the seats that the moderate Liberals that were actually quite well, they were well liked throughout the community, but they were nevertheless turfed out. They were replaced by strong, professional, principled women. And I think in the wash-up over the next couple of months, when we see the demographic breakdown, when the analysts and the pollsters do all their work on who swung where, you will find that it will be the female vote that was instrumental in ousting the Morrison government.
Mm. A lot of those teal candidates now presumably are on the crossbenches.
Yes.
Will Anthony Albanese need them, do you think? And if so, what is he likely to give them?
Well, at this point, it's looking like the government may squeak over the line to a majority, that Labor may squeak over the line to a majority, 77, maybe 78 seats. Look, that's unclear. At the moment, they've only got confirmed 72, so they've got a bit of a hill to climb before they get to that sort of reckoning. If they do, the so-called teals, but the independents, and there will, by the way, will be a vast number of them. It's not just the five that were elected in these seats in Victoria and Perth and Sydney. There was also another five to contend with. So the crossbench could be anywhere between 10, 12, 13. So that's a massive crossbench to handle, and not all of them are going to be of like mind. But for those who are, they've said quite simply, this is what we want, stronger action on climate change, a national integrity commission that has the right to be able to look at political behaviour, not just bureaucrats, and we want that before the end of the year. We want that inked in blood. And we want better treatment of women. We want greater gender equality. We want a concerted national action plan on ending domestic violence in this country against women and children, because we've had 10-year plans that just go round and round in circles and the statistics don't move. So those are the requests, and they're not going to budge.
Yeah, and I see that, was it Griffith in Queensland went to the Greens? Was that a surprise? And is that a sign that, yes, there really is some substantial movement on the issue of climate change in Australia?
There's not just, it wasn't just the loss of Griffith. That was expected. I expected it anyway, because it nearly went last time around, and the Greens have been working very, very hard there. The Green vote in Australia went through the roof, particularly in Queensland in flood-affected areas. And what that says, quite plainly, is that the electors feel that governments have failed them and the opposition has failed them in this area. And so the ones that were offering the most radical plan to address climate change are the Greens. And the Greens vote in some seats outstripped Labor and Liberal. I mean, it was quite phenomenal. It's something we've not seen before. I mean, they truly are now a force in Australia to be reckoned with. And so there could be three or four Greens sitting on the crossbench also. I mean, this is the crossbench.
Getting pretty busy.
It's going to be very busy. But if Labor has a majority, then they will be absolutely mindful of what the crossbench wants, but they will be able to rule in their own right. But if you only have a one or two seat majority, you're only ever a resignation and a heart attack away from losing majority. So you have to consult widely with your crossbench. It's going to be a fascinating time.
And just finally, a footnote here. I see Pauline Hanson is actually in danger of losing her Senate spot.
She is in danger of losing her Senate spot. Her vote collapsed. She has only got 7.3% of the primaries. The Greens there are breathing down her neck to take the third spot. They've already got one or two up there. They were confirmed for one, that was somebody before, the second one, and now perhaps third. Or the Legalised Cannabis Party is also breathing down her neck, and they could take the spot for her. So from her. Now, she contracted COVID in the last week of the campaign, so she couldn't campaign. But I don't think that mattered either. I mean, her vote had collapsed in Queensland well before she contracted COVID. And the United Australia Party is another great story. I mean, Clive Palmer, the head of that, spent $100 million spreading disinformation through the community, and he picked up precisely zero. Well, he did, wow. 200,000 votes across Australia, but had no impact whatsoever. So what a way to spend $100 bill. A million. I could do a little bit more.
Quite extraordinary. Hey, thank you very much. Great stuff. That was Kerri-Anne Walsh, our Canberra correspondent, in the show for today. Have a good one.